CHL coming up this afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m. Now it's time for Blaine and Mickey, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone.
Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Woo! Fired up, man. Love hanging out at Sudden Service. We're in Gallatin today. 1845 A Nashville Pike. We're right next to the lake. So when we're done with the show, Kirby has said that he's going to run and jump into the lake. And he is going to hog up one of those giant catfish that's in there. And he's
with a catfish beat him in the eye.
Yeah, he's going to noodle. We call it hogging. Man, Blaine is always fascinated by me telling tales of my youth where I'm like, yeah, my hometown did not have a stoplight. He's like, that's not real. I'm like, no, that's real. And it wasn't even the red, green, yellow. We just had a four-way stop. Blinking red light. But, yeah, there was not a lot to do. I made it out.
The person that I know that, Lorenzo Neal had one stoplight.
Yep.
Where he grew up. I forgot the name. Somewhere on the West Coast.
We had we only got one later.
Wesco, Cali.
Lorenzo Neal and me, small town guys made good. Sudden Service, they're small town people made good. Love hanging out with them. Here's what they're doing with Pepsi today. We all need to
giving it to Kirby.
We need to well, whatever Pepsi Kirby doesn't buy, the rest of you can come and buy. But if Kirby buys it or you, it doesn't matter. Pepsi Mountain Dew 20-ounce products are $2 for $3. Pepsi's going to donate a portion of the sale to St. Jude's. Last year, it was over 20,000 just from the sale of Pepsi and Mountain Dew alone. And now they've added some other friends of the family as well. Frito-Lay chips, Core Water Sport, or Uptime Energy Drink. Buy any of this stuff today. Donation goes to St. Jude's. Since 2008, Southern Service has donated over $1 million to St. Jude's thanks to the giving hearts of their customers just like you. Now through October 31st, pick up Pepsi and help St. Jude. You can even buy a pin up here. You can buy it, and they'll stick it up on the window. Sudden Service, Blaine has sampled the chicken here today. You said it was A+, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's gone. It's so good. Yeah. It's chicken tenders.
Kirby ate the hot kind as usual. Usually he gets the hottest thing wherever we go, then he complains about it. But he's got
He complains about it like he has your cat stomach.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You notice I didn't eat any hot stuff. My favorite thing about it, every Sudden Service, though, because they always have good food, and they make the food here. You can get the food, and stores are always nice, and they're clean. The bathrooms are clean, which I'm a big fan of that, because every time I take either one of my kids anywhere, the first thing they do is go to the bathroom. My favorite thing about every Sudden Service is the random collection of hats.
Oh, yeah.
Every Sudden Service has a random collection of hats. So let's
Florida go. State.
So
North Carolina.
I'm going to do a little walking around here.
Louisville. So
what's the most random one in this collection, Blaine? Is it Louisville? Because, I mean, we're not too far from Kentucky.
I would say North Carolina.
Florida State. And there's like a selection. There's two different Florida State hats. Now, they got middle. We're fairly close to Kentucky. There's a nice Kentucky selection. Of course, there's Big Orange. Got Auburn. Three different Auburn hats. Mm-hmm. So Gus Malzahn must shop here. So I figure, and they have a Vanderbilt hat. So Kirby said he might buy that and wear it to his next Vanderbilt game. He does some work for those broadcasts. So maybe you'll see Kirby in it. And they also have these ponchos, these like blankets that are poncho type blankets.
Yeah.
What are they called? Salsa blankets?
No, falsa.
Oh, I would like to have a salsa blanket. It does. They have falsa blankets. I do need to get my eyes checked. If you're an optometrist, at Mickey Ryan 1045, your info. I need some help. Oh, now I'm getting something else. What else do we have? Apple pie flavored Kit Kats.
Oh, that's one of a kind. I've never seen those.
Okay, that's like seeing a white deer in the woods. You don't see that very often. Never, maybe. If you're a Titans fan, you may see Adoree this week. Adoree Jackson off IR. Blaine, what would a healthy Adoree Jackson, who is a number one cornerback in this league, what would a number one Adoree Jackson being back ready to roll, what does that mean for this defense? And if he could get back maybe in time for Juju Smith-Schuster and then this giant guy from Notre Dame, Claypool, and James Washington, what would it mean to get your – I know it gives me a headache too thinking about it.
Well, I'm thinking – well, first, I don't know if he's going to be back, so I think that's a tease.
It's a 3-week window they've got.
Yeah,
but he is off IR. That's the first step.
So I don't want to build everybody's expectations that he's going to be out there covering Claypool or something.
Claypool.
His first game back. But, you know, it could help out a defense when he's healthy and he's being productive that we've seen in the past. You know, he can, you know, change a lot. You know, there's chemistry there that's undervalued. I always talk about that in the secondary. And this, in general, any position group, chemistry is key. And if you were listening to Tannehill, he was talking about, you know, Ty Zambrello was talking about, well, you know, he does a great job out there. We just got to make sure we keep our chemistry going. Just have to, you know, move him in and communicate a lot better, you know, with him. And he's not going to be paying attention. So the same thing with Adoree and anybody new. That's why I talk about the whole situation of the whole secondary with guys injured, IR, COVID. Right. And every position group, it's hard to kind of get chemistry and stay on the same page. So that's, I think, a little tough. But, you know, when you have an elite corner, you know, your number one guy, it would help out a lot. You can roll coverages the other way and say, hey, man, you lock your guy down and we're good to go, especially if your other guy needs help or if they're, you know, picking on a guy. So, you know, so, yeah, it could help out a lot. I just don't think he's going to be out there this week. I think this is going to be a tough week because they can run the football as well as throw the football.
Yeah.
And they can stop the run.
Yeah.
So they're pretty stout. By the way, you know, everybody talks about Cleveland and how bad and they're good or, you know, however Baker Mayfield is. But they had the number one rushing offense going into that game against the Steelers. They're not no more.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then Tomlin's up there giving us this sweet, oh, Derrick Henry's the biggest, fastest guy I've ever seen. I mean, we don't even have a guy that we can duplicate him. Maybe put Bud Dupree at running back.
Right.
That would be the closest we can get. See, I call this the setup. This is the setup. Once again, that means they're going to be ready. And I mean ready, and I mean pissed off. First of all, they pissed off because, you know, they had to move their game. And let's not forget that.
Yeah, this cost them their bye week.
Yeah. So they're going to come down here really pissed off, and they're getting us at a kind of a spot where it's kind of like, you know, Henry, the quarterback, and then Taylor Lewan. Talking about the value of the position and who plays it on this team. It's going to show up. It's going to show up. I hope they do really well, but they got two really good pass rushers. Who have more sacks than our entire team.
Yeah, so. 9.5 between Bud Dupree and T.J. Watt.
Yeah.
They got 24 as a team, 24 sacks.
They're number two defense, right?
Yes. Yeah. Although.
We're number two offense.
Their defense.
Why did I not feel so confident about that? I do. With LaJuan. Corey Davis will be back.
He's back. See, maybe that there you go. Michael Pruitt, you could put him over there, help out Zambrello with Pruitt, right? He's a blocker.
Yeah.
Slide him over.
That's what I said. I would use two tight ends. I got to do it.
Then you make them get their big personnel on the field. Then you spread them out because you got guys like Ferguson and Johnny Smith. I listen to everything you say, Blaine.
That's what I would do. But,
I hope people are listening.
I don't know if that'll work, though. I haven't watched the tape in the film like Brable and crew and the coaches there. But that's what I would do. Then I'd spread those suckers out. They don't want to be out there. Hey, Brad Dupree and Watt, they do not want to be out there close to the sideline. Let's see if we get them in the coverage where they got to be out there in space. You ain't rushing no pass, so I'm sure they'd say, you go in there and rush, we're going to put somebody else out there. Yeah, I want to make them feel very uncomfortable. So I let Vrabel, he'll know. He's been in those Steeler-type, meeting rooms and schemes with the 3-4. So that's how you go about attacking these pass rushers. Chip them, then they kind of slow down. They don't rush as hard. Double team them, double down. How about somebody go hit you in your ribs when you think you're going against one guy? Somebody, bam, and then they de-cleat you. You're like, oh, man, he called me. I didn't even see him. Yeah. You're going to slow down. Slow down, little partner. Hey, man, just tell you how it works.
Yeah. Well, I've heard a lot of people talk about just running right at pass rushers, running at where they came from as a way to neutralize them. Then you make them think about, okay, what's coming next? I can't just turn on the Jets.
Well, you know, I'm glad that you said that because every pass rusher is not the same.
Right.
Yeah. And typically that is true, but these pass rushers not so much.
No, they stop the run good. Right. Now, maybe you run right at Vic Beasley.
Yeah. We're trying to beat them. I don't know about that. Well, he only played 11 snaps, so they can run at him 11 times.
I'm not trying to take a shot at him.
But you just took a shot at him.
But all we hear is, you know, he doesn't have a lot of sand in his britches. He's not the biggest guy. He runs upfield. He's looking for sacks. That's kind of what he's doing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, these guys, they understand. They have awareness. They call it hard joints. They're not running upfield. This is,
guaranteed pass situation.
Right.
Or if not, they're going to be sitting next to coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, so these are a little different pass rush. They got the total package. These guys are, you know, they're going to play the run. You can run at them. I mean, everybody has a weakness. So I haven't scouted these guys if running at them is best or running away from them. But when you're number two defense right now, I don't know. It's scheme and system and having the right players that fit that scheme that makes them really good. So we just saw Minka come from the Dolphins last year, and all of a sudden now he's, you know, as good as everybody thought he's going to be. Well, they weren't using him right.
Right.
They're in the Dolphins. They had him playing corner because he's so talented. Oh, let's put him at corner. No, he's a safety. Yeah, so we'll see. It'll be fun, though. It's going to be exciting.
They've given up some big yards.
And no Steeler fans there either. They will not let them in.
You know they're like cockroaches.
I talked to Amy already.
They're like cockroaches.
They said, turn them around and go back out.
You know they're like cockroaches. They'll find a way in.
Dude, you better put their Steeler jersey in their purse or somewhere.
It's amazing what they do, man. It's amazing how they get into places, those fans.
Get those bumblebees out of there.
Teams have had some success throwing the ball a little bit against them. They've had two receivers go well over 100. Randall Cobb was like 4 for 95 when the Texans played him. One Pro Football Focus write-up that I read, they said they think Ryan Tannehill can actually have a pretty good day throwing against their secondary.
Ooh.
Now, Minka Fitzpatrick is a ball hawk, so you get to be choosy about where you put it. But there's at least one thought out there from Pro Football Focus that maybe Tanny Time could have a big day.
Oh, well, let's make it happen.
Keep that rush at bay. We'll talk to the Steelers AP guy. You want to know what's going on in Pittsburgh? Will Gray's got you covered. Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone.
Jason Martin and Ramon Foster. They start your day with more insight on the Titans, SEC, Vols, and have more connections to the players today than anywhere else. J. Martin Ramon. Tomorrow morning from 6 to 9 on 104.5 The Zone.
Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Gallatin is where we are. Sudden Service, hanging out. We're inventorying all the cupcakes and honey buns and things we might want to eat when the show is over. But the show is a long ways from over, and let's talk some Steelers now with Will Graves with the Associated Press. Will, when you go to a gas station, what is your go-to awful food that you will get for yourself?
Combos, man. Combos. Absolutely. And I regret it. And I always get the big bag. I don't get the small bag. But, like, if we're road tripping, like, the kids know they're at the gas station a mile from our house, so if we get all our snacks at it. Absolutely, I'm particular to the pretzel nacho cheese, like the OG combo. I mean, all the other ones, I'm kind of like, I feel the least guilty eating the pretzel nacho cheese combo.
Well, if people have sold us that pretzels aren't terrible for us, right? And cheese, I mean, cheese is healthy, I guess. I mean, I think you're fine. I think you really dodged a bullet here.
Well, it's better than some of my kids who are 11 and 9. Like, they try to get, like, this hot stuff, like, whether it's a Doritos or whatever. Literally the stuff they put on them is, like, almost translucent. It is so, like, radioactive, bad for you. But their stomachs are 11 and 9 and indestructible, and mine is not. So,
boy, I miss those days. Hey, speaking of back in the day, this is the most surprising thing for me this whole week. And think about it. This is 2020. Like, surprising stuff happens about every 6-7 minutes. The Steelers have only gone 5-0 one other time, and that was in 1978.
Didn't believe that.
I mean,
it's one of those things that, like, when it first comes up, it looks like a typo, right?
Right.
But, I mean, and I did a little deep dive on it last week. And look, and some people on Twitter pointed out that because typically they're good, they always have, like, high-profile early season matchups against other good teams, you know, because they're finished first or second in the division, so they're playing the Patriots and whatever. I mean, there is some truth to that, but they've also had some really bad losses, even in recent years, when they've had really good seasons. I mean, like, you know, in 17, they finished 13-3, but they lost on the road in week 3 in Chicago. In 14, they lost at home in week 4 to a Bucs team that finished 2-14. Mike Glennon took them down the field to win that game. The Steelers ended up winning the North in that year. I think they went 11-5. So, I mean, while it is surprising, it also sort of hints that at least for this group under Mike Tomlin, they have trouble getting going early, and they tend to sort of pick it up late. His record, if you look at the splits, I mean, September, I believe, is his worst month from a win percentage standpoint. So, you know, they're, and they certainly look to be, you know, getting better as the weeks go on, much like in many ways the Titans look like they're getting better as the weeks go on.
On with Will Graves with the Associated Press in Pittsburgh.
Well, Will, I have to ask you, this is Blaine here. Man, are the Steelers players a little upset about moving their bye week and then now having to play the Titans? Or how are they feeling about that, or is that over with?
I mean, I think that there was a little they weren't upset with the Titans necessarily. I think they were more annoyed at the process, because what happened was they didn't find out the game was pushed until they got to work on that Thursday. And so they ended up practicing that day, whereas in during a typical bye week, you know, they kind of have like a walkthrough on Wednesday, and it's very, you know, lighthearted. I mean, like, there was one year where William Gay did nothing but the former quarterback ended up just DJing the entire practice, which, you know, some of the media could have participated in. It was so laid back. So this was not like that. They did not get their traditional 4 days off that they would normally get, which is actually mandated by the CBA. The league gave the Steelers a pass on that. So, I mean, it was more like just the drawn-out process of it. I mean, look, they're paid to play football. I don't think they mind playing the game. And considering how well they're playing right now, why would you want to stop playing? You know, I think if anything, you know, a lot of guys say, hey, we're in a rhythm now. Let's just keep it going.
Well, Will Graves, Pittsburgh AP, but I guess on to the Steelers and the Steeler Nation. How do they view the Titans now? Is this considered still a rivalry to those guys?
I mean, they haven't played that much recently in the very recent past. I mean, today Ben was asked about games like in 2008 and 2010 when there was a lot more. I mean, obviously those games had significantly higher stakes. That's not to say that, I mean, I think I might have mentioned this to you when I was on last time. I mean, I can certainly see a scenario where this is a divisional round playoff game or even a AFC championship game preview, depending on how, you know, things go with the Chiefs and the Ravens. I mean, I thought the Chiefs were head and shoulders above everybody else, and I'm not so sold on that now, especially given the way that the Titans are playing. I mean, we sort of, you know, the vision of them is, well, they got this old school coach, and they've got, you know, this big, bad dude running back. But, I mean, they're second in the league in scoring. You know, I mean, this is not, they are not some sort of ground and pound team. So I think it's going to be very interesting. You know, I think the Steelers have a healthy respect for the Titans, but I don't know if it's, I think if you really want to get back to a rivalry, you got to have like actual stakes. This might be the start of that again, at least in the short term.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I'll be looking to that rivalry game next week ahead of time against Baltimore. I guess in summary, tell us a little bit about who the Steelers are offensively and defensively. I guess you can even just talk about the Cleveland game and how they just smothered them, especially their run game.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're really balanced. It's, you know, it's interesting, and everybody's trying to, like, you know, it's interesting when you listen to the players talk, especially in offense. You got to listen to what they don't say. And look, this offense has been very talented for, you know, the last 7-8 years, but there's one particular mouth that needed to be fed that isn't here anymore. And, you know, he's actually not even in football at the moment. And I think his absence, while they'll never come out and say it publicly on the record, I do think there has definitely created a much looser vibe, because there's no drama. There's just, at least not on the surface. But, you know, there is no drama. There are guys, I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster, who in theory, you know, is their top receiver, he had two targets last week, and he didn't care. When James Washington caught a 28-yard touchdown pass, Juju ran over to him, picked him up, and they had some sort of, you know, preordained touchdown celebration that Juju likes to come up with. I mean, it doesn't appear to be a lot of ego. I mean, Ben is not throwing for a billion yards, but they're running the ball effectively. They've had 100-yard rushers in 4 or 5 games this year. And defensively, I mean, you know, I think Cleveland came in last week and they thought, you know, we're going to run the ball and then we're going to get the lead and then this is going to be our coming out party. And it took literally a quarter and a half for all of that to vanish. They couldn't run. They got behind quickly. They were on 24-0 midway through the second quarter, and the game was over. And I really think that's the way the defense, you know, they were a little leaky against the Eagles. I mean, they allowed Carson Wentz to convert 10 straight third downs. But what happened, you know, as they went into, quote, the lab, as Mike Tomlin likes to call it, came out, Cleveland 1-12 on third down, over 3 on fourth down. So, I mean, they, you know, if there's a leak somewhere, they put a finger in it and it, they seem to address it. So, do I think that there's some elite team that's, you know, clearly a Super Bowl favorite? No, I don't. But I think they're good, and I think they're doing it without any of the, you know, any of the side stuff that had percolated in recent years. I mean, Le'Veon obviously is gone in Kansas City now. Antonio Brown is out of football. And I think there's Ben is back, and he looks great. He doesn't look like 2018 Ben. He doesn't have to. He's getting rid of the ball quickly. They're taking care of it. They're not turning it over. And when they get leads, they put teams away. So, you know, I really think there's just, you know, hey, let's just go play. And I think that's a vibe that's definitely kind of permeating up and down the roster.
Well, Will Graves of Pittsburgh AP.
Ryan, Will, it's interesting. Devin Bush goes down, and the guy that replaces him is Robert Spillane, who was a really good story here in Tennessee a couple years ago. We all enjoyed watching him play, and he had a real nice preseason. I mean, he's certainly not Devin Bush, but he's a guy that Titans fans know pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it speaks to the Steelers' confidence in him. That, I mean, look, in the offseason, they cut Mark Barron, yeah, who had a year left on his deal in a salary cap move, and they didn't go out and get anybody. They didn't get, I mean, that their move to add depth at middle linebacker, inside linebacker, was to turn Marcus Allen, safety they drafted a few years ago from Penn State, and basically bring him down into the box. That was it. That was their solution. So that part of that was a vote of confidence that Rob Spillane and Ulysses Gilbert could come in and play if Devin, in case Devin got hurt. Now, that being said, I mean, it is telling that Bush had literally played every defensive snap the first four games in a quarter and a half. So let's not say that these guys were, that Spillane or Gilbert was pushing Devin Bush by any stretch. However, you know, the Steelers also have a bit of a track record in developing, you know, defensive guys, linebackers in particular, into pretty good players. I mean, let's remember, James Harrison was undrafted, you know, and has gotten cut a couple of times. And he turned into a guy that was one of the most dominant players for a five-year stretch in football. So I'm not saying Rob Spillane's anywhere along those lines, but I am saying that I believe that they are confident in their ability to develop linebackers. And he played, you know, he played really, really well in his, you know, in his debut against the Browns. However, I mean, the situation was different. The Browns had to throw a lot because they were trailing, trying to get back in the game. And, you know, I mean, the Steelers know what they're getting on Sunday, and it's going to be a heaping helping of Derrick Henry and Rob Spillane. And I'm actually writing the story. Rob Spillane and everybody else is going to need a lot of help to bring that dude down.
Will Graves, Associated Press in Pittsburgh, our guest. Yeah, Derrick Henry coming off his certainly best game of the season so far, has some momentum. The Titans are without Taylor Lewan, but we've seen teams just fill up the box week after week against Derrick Henry, and here he is 200 yards past his pace of five games last year and leading the league in rushing again, despite all that's happened so far.
Yeah, and I mean, Mike Tomlin was, you know, really good yesterday and sort of, you know, outlining what it is about Henry that makes him so great, and what you guys have obviously gotten really the last year. I think it was about this time last year that he really started to get rolling. I mean, it's not just that he's big, because he's big, and it's not just that he's fast, because he's fast, and not just that he's strong, It's that he is a combination of these things. And I mean, it's, you know, you've got quarterbacks who think they're pretty darn fast, and they get him in the open field, and we saw, I mean, he ran away from them. I mean, it's just, if you're that big, you're not supposed to do that. I mean, Tomlin equated, you know, Derrick Henry to Bud Dupree, who's one of the Steelers' outside linebackers, and he said that if Bud was a running back, that's who he would be. And, look, Bud Dupree's a big dude. So, and the other thing about it is Tennessee is committed to running the ball. It's not like, I mean, what the Steelers have done their first, you know, five games, I mean, they absolutely stuffed Saquon Barkley in the opener. Melvin Gordon found a little room in week two, but the Steelers got the lead, so the Broncos had to throw. It was much the same against the Texans. It was much, you know, I mean, they have, you know, other teams have kind of run a little bit early, and then when they get behind, they have to throw. And I think Tennessee, if Tennessee gets behind, if it's still 10 points or so, if that happens, they're still going to give him the ball. And with the idea that he's going to wear you down eventually. So I believe that they are preparing to see him, you know, in heavy doses. I mean, I looked it up today. They haven't had a lot of, if you take out last year's season finale against the Ravens, when they were out of the playoffs and it was in the rain and it was miserable and they just wanted the season to end, and Gus Edwards had, I think, a buck 30. They haven't had somebody go over 100 yards against them since Joe Mixon did it in the 18 finale, and even that was only 105 yards. So, I mean, I think they understand they have not seen a team, a player specifically, and a team philosophy that the Titans have in quite a long time, and I think that's what they're preparing for.
On with Will Graves with the Associated Press in Pittsburgh.
Well, you guys have a pretty good receiving group, I guess, and Chase Claypool is actually showing he's more than just a piece to the puzzle. Seems like he's the number one receiver. What are your thoughts on how he's played so far?
Well, you know, it's interesting. In a way, not having training camp might have been a benefit to him, and even to a lesser extent, you know, their rookie running back, Anthony McFarland Jr., who's gotten on the field a bit in the last couple of weeks. I mean, they didn't have to go and try to get some vanilla game plan installed for some meaningless preseason game. They could sort of get right into it, and I think, you know, that allowed Claypool to kind of get a head start on some stuff. Even during camp, you would hear that he would never make the same mental mistake twice. Now, he might drop a pass here or there, but if you look at him, he's 6'4", 235-ish pounds, and you think, oh, well, we're just going to go up there and throw him the ball. That's not the only way that he's making plays. I mean, he scored four touchdowns against the Browns. He scored one on an end around. He scored one where it was basically a quick screen out of the bunch formation where he picked his way 5 yards to the end zone. There was one on a crossing pattern where he ran away from people, and another one on busted coverage where, for some reason, the Eagles decided not to cover a 6'4" guy in the slot, and he ran wide open. So it's not like they're just throwing alley-oops into the end zone to him. I mean, he is a versatile guy, and he certainly has the tools. To me, he reminds me a lot, maybe a better and more responsible version of Martavis Bryant, who we all remember came onto the scene, the Steelers in the middle of 14, and in that season, they were kind of rough. They were 3-3 in week 7. He finally got the start, and they took off. They won 8 out of 10, I think, to win the division. And, you know, Chase is like that, except he's a better blocker, and he doesn't have any of the off. It doesn't appear to have any of the off-field issues that obviously have Kurt Bryant, who is out of the league and has been for a couple of years. So, and the thing is, you know, he has that big game against the Eagles. Well, what happens next? Last week, the Browns do pay more attention to him. The byproduct of that is James Washington, who is their, you know, their third receiver, has his best day of the season. So, I mean, you have to kind of pick your poison. And Roethlisberger has done a really good job of figuring out in a given week who the guy is. Five games, they've had five different guys in the receiving yardage.
We're on with Will Graves, Pittsburgh AP. I guess the last thing for me is Pittsburgh's toughest game to this point and their best game, if it's the same.
Well, their best game was definitely last week against the Browns. I mean, there was I don't think the Browns came in chirping like they did, like, you know, we thought they, you know, at the beginning of 2019. I think they were confident but wary, and the Steelers just, you know, I mean, it was the same as it ever was, right? The toughest game, certainly, you look at the margins of the Eagles game and the margin of the Broncos game, and remember the Broncos lost Drew Lock, you know, early in that game. You would have liked to see maybe a little bit better of a killer instinct from them, but it ultimately it didn't matter. I mean, in both those games, they got the stops they needed to secure the win. So I think if they play like they did last week against the Browns, they're going to be really, really tough to beat. I think this game, though, I see Tennessee winning. I just think the Steelers will sort of do a little bit to have a game where they turn the ball over a couple times. I think they're going to have trouble with Henry if the Titans stick with the run. I mean, I think the Broncos actually had some success early in that game. Then Locke went out, Steelers got a little bit of a lead, and they kind of panicked a little bit. They didn't stick with it. So I really think that, you know, if Tennessee – I think if Derrick Henry carries the ball 20-plus times, there's a 90% chance the Titans win the game.
Will Graves, Associated Press in Pittsburgh, our guest. What's the latest on the injury front? I know Deontay Johnson is another one of those receivers and return game guy that not a lot of people are talking about. What's the latest with him and Pouncey and the other guys on the injury report?
Well, I think most of their – you know, David Castor, their Pro Bowl right guard, missed his third game of the season last week because he tweaked an abdominal injury. Practicing today, I think the belief is that he's going to play. Deontay Johnson, a guy who, and I don't, and this, you know, I swear I'm not buying into the hype train here, sort of like a poor man's Antonio Brown in the sense that he's not a big guy. He's really good in small spaces. He's from the MAC, kind of built the same, and sort of making a similar impact early in his career. I think he's, I'm not saying he's going to develop into that level of talent, but he's a very effective player. You know, his problem is he's a little frail. He got hurt on a punt return against the Eagles and didn't play last week. I think they believe he's going to play. So, I mean, look, that losing Devin Bush, big injury, but they've been a little lucky. Their only real, other real major injury that they've had was losing right tackle Zach Banner in the opener against the Giants late. But, you know, Chukwuma Okorafor, one of their 2017 picks who's been sort of groomed to be that guy, has filled in very nicely. So they've been kind of lucky. We see these other injuries, and we look at the Eagles, for example, that have just killed teams. The Steelers have largely avoided that. And I think for the most part, I mean, like their biggest injuries right now outside of Devin Bush are fullback Derek Watt, who is really basically a glorified special teamer at this point. You know, his status is a little iffy. But other than that, they're pretty good, which, you know, we'll see what they look like at 4:30 on Sunday after trying to tackle 22 for 3 hours. But, you know, I in general, I think their health is pretty good.
Will, thank you, man. Great stuff. Go get yourself a big bag of combos and, you know, drive around the block and eat those rascals. People can follow you on Twitter at Will Graves AP. Thank you, man.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Thanks a lot.
Yes, sir. Will Graves giving us the lowdown on Pittsburgh. Got a Twitter question, Blaine, from Brandon about the Titans and the blitz on defense this weekend. Let's get into that before we wrap things up today. Titans talk as we wrap up Blaine and Mickey, sudden service. In Gallatin, Tennessee, that's where we are. Still got time for you to come by and see us or come by and see the 3HL crew. They're up next.
Coming up this afternoon on the 3HL.
At 3:15, we will dive into all things Titans with Coach Dave McGinnis.
Plus, Todd Furman looks at the numbers from a Vegas perspective at 5:15.
This afternoon from 3 to 6 on 104.5 The Zone.
Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone, live from Gallatin Sudden Service. 3HL is going to be here. They got a 3HL meal deal, so come by and just eat your dinner. It's $3 in honor of 3HL. You can also buy Pepsi, Mountain Dew products, Frito-Lay. They'll make a donation to St. Jude. They've given over $1 million to them over the years. Also want to let you know this. For all you people who are looking for a way to get your business going, here's what you do, man. It's the it's our annual, like, one day, one week sale. This is your chance to try out the Zone. If you've been thinking about it, they got great deals, best rates for 2021. You can book now. Call our general sales manager. Here's what you do: 615-312-3502. Be like our friends at Southern Service. Advertise on the Zone. You'll be successful. One of our sales reps will contact you, and they'll show you how we can be your business partners to make your business grow. Anyway, general sales manager, tell him we sent you, 615-312-3502. It is the annual Zone sale. So you want to advertise, you want to get your business going, this is the place to do it, Blaine. Everybody knows that. We know that. We move products. It's what we do, man. We're in the product moving business. I mean, we're also talking about sports, but we're business people. Here's Brandon's business on Twitter. By the way, you can tweet us anytime at bbishop23, at mickeyryan1045. And we'll always answer your questions. Or you can call us, 615-737-1045. Anytime we got time, we will always take phone calls. Brandon weighs in with this question. How important is the blitz this weekend with the Titans defense, with Big Ben back there?
Oh, man. Well, that's kind of a broad question. I think blitzing at the right time, but actually getting Big Ben down, yeah, when you do blitz. Another question there, man. I mean, I know there's other big human beings hitting him, but for some reason, that guy's like the lumberjack. He's not going down easy.
It's like watching bullets bounce off of a Kevlar vest with that guy.
Because he holds on to the ball. So.
Right, forever.
Yeah. So I don't know if he's been doing that this season, but his history tells you that he still has a little bit of that in there. So, yeah, you always want to blitz the quarterback, get him off target, but you want to make sure you interrupt his reads, too. You can blitz, and he knows where to go with the ball. Sometimes you can make it easier for him, a la like we did one year with Ryan Leaf, and blitz him every day. And then I always say, well, it's man-to-man, so I just throw it to one of my guys. Yes. Well, he just made it easy for him if he got rid of it before he got there.
Right.
So you want to make his reads a little bit difficult. He's seen everything. But you want to catch him off guard, show him something you hadn't seen, really in film. And that's how you can get a guy like Big Ben. Other than that, you know, hopefully he has an off day.
Yeah, he is. He's an interesting guy. You know, you go back 3-4 years, and there was talk about retirement. And, you know,
yeah,
he was on a motorcycle and wrecked into a car, and he had some legal troubles early on. But he's another one of those guys, Blaine. He may play forever. What is it about quarterbacks now? They just never go away. Play till they're 40 years old. Nobody used to play until they were 40. Maybe kickers, punters, you know, some of the Matthews brothers. But now.
I don't know. Guys, how long did John Elway play?
He was in his 30s, and he got beat up at the end. Remember, he said, I remember John Elway's farewell press conference because he was like, hey, man, I know we've been winning, but I can't do this anymore. Wow. I can't do what it takes to do this anymore.
Watch out, Brandon. Benny Testaverde. I think he was like 42.
I think he was like 50 the last time he came in and beat the Titans. When the Titans were trying to make the playoffs, and they put in Benny Testaverde.
People laugh at me every time I bring it. I say, Benny Testaverde is a pretty good athlete, man. He's a pretty good player.
Oh, he was a good player. I mean, he played it to you, man.
But he was a pretty good pro player, man.
He was.
You know, people laugh. You know, he bounced around from team to team. But obviously, when you play that long, you are pretty good now. You can't go that long and just be, we're just hanging out. So he's pretty good. It's like, you know, Steve DeBerg.
Hey, for people who
Dave Craig. I mean, these guys, I caught the end of their career. I watched them on TV. I was like, damn, this the same guy? No way. So they played a long time. I mean, you know, but the money's so big. Some of these young guys, if they don't have success, they're like, forget it.
Right.
Move on. I got my rookie contract, you know, like, yeah, hey. He made $40, $50 million. I mean, and now you're back. Why am I doing this?
Right. You mentioned Steve DeBerg. People need to look him up. Because he was in San Francisco, and he was going to be the starter. Well, then they drafted a guy named Montana.
Oh, a guy named Joe.
So a bum sold to Berg. So he's like, okay, I'm going to go to Denver. Guess what? Goes to Denver. They draft a guy named Elway. It just kept happening in his career, one after another.
And then he called Fitzmagic. I mean, Fitzpatrick.
Yes, he did.
And Fitzpatrick said, this keeps happening to me.
Boy. Hey, man, the quotes from Fitzmagic today are sad.
Oh, no, you got to say him. Tell us, what did he say?
Oh, I'm going to have to do a little looking. But, you know, he's one of these guys that's kind of become a clipboard holder in his career. But
him and Tyrod Taylor.
He said, yeah. Although Fitzy, well, Tyrod certainly reached that point in his career where he's just going to. But here's the thing for Tyrod Taylor. Why not go somewhere and make $2, $3, $4, $5 million forever, as long as you can?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to play in some preseason games, but if you're not playing in games, you're not necessarily going to take any big hits or anything.
Yeah, well, Fitzmagic, he said something, paraphrasing a little bit, I guess, that he thought he had done everything and right and was having his best year of his career. He thought, hey, man, this is my team. I thought I was going to be the starter. As soon as they drafted Tua, you knew you wasn't going to be starting the whole season. It's impossible.
He said it broke his heart to hear that he was being He said this. Like, football players don't say their heart got broken.
It's just hard to take him seriously with that beard.
Right. And wearing his shirt unbuttoned down to his waist and everything like he does.
They wouldn't allow that. He can't do that at Harvard.
He said it broke his heart to hear he was being demoted. He said he was shocked when Brian Flores called him in the office to tell him it was Tua time as the starter. And he also went on to – here's the other quote. I basically got fired yesterday. And my day today consisted of Zoom meetings with the guy who fired me and sitting in a room with the guy who replaced me for 4 hours.
Bang! Yeah, that's the NFL life right there. People think, just be happy. Yep, he collecting those checks, so just sit in the room and be quiet.
But he's got to help. He's got to keep helping that guy. You know, hey, man, remember when this guy does this?
Oh, well, he's a good sport.
Right.
He got to help the guy, man. You want to make? He's going to make $10 million sitting on the bench, man. Hey, man, I'm going to teach you everything I know.
Here you go.
But here you go. My body's going to heal. man, I feel so great. Hey, stay out there as long as you can. Oh, you got hurt the 10th, 11th game? Oh, I'll take us into the playoffs. Right into the sunset.
Hey, man. Fitzmagic. 5 touchdowns, 5 picks. Nobody knows what's coming. But he was playing pretty good football this year.
He was. This is besides the Buffalo year when he got the big contract. And it's probably his best year.
And he said that. We sat down and you're like, man, remember that Buffalo year? I said, he referenced that today. He said twice in his career where he felt like the team was his and everything was going in the right direction. Buffalo and here.
Hey.
But the league doesn't view him that way. He's great for a temporary starter, but full-time, no. Or a stopgap, you know, till we get the other one up to speed, a youngster.
The temporary fix. That's what he is.
Hey, man, that's you can make a lot of money on temporary speed. He may end up making $100 million.
He may. What's he may?
I have no idea.
Do we got time to get that?
I want to believe he's got to be up to around $80 million.
Oh, man.
This is hilarious just to think about it. Then it seemed wear his nice little Hawaiian shirts and with his beard and then wear a chain and just all this funny stuff, man. He's probably a cool dude to have in the locker room, man.
All right, 16 years for him. 16 years.
16 years?
16 years for seventh round draft pick.
Yeah.
In 2005.
Yeah.
Career earnings.
80 to 100.
Well, it's not quite that. 71 million.
Oh, man.
71 million career earnings for your man, Fitzmagic.
His goal is that I'm going to get to 80, then I'm gonna rack it up, man. Go hang out with my Harvard boys and invest it in something.
All those investment bankers, and he's out-earned all of them. Ryan Fitzpatrick, time for us to go. 3HL is next. Come to Sudden Service in Gallatin and see him.
Hey.
This is your home for Titans football.
That's exactly the answer the Tennessee Titans needed.
It's a big blue wave at Nissan Stadium.
104.5 The Zone.